somebody else in Univod who's doing tremendously. His name is Shirley Snyder. So 2 weeks ago, me and Shirley Friday and 56 parents.
Yeah.
And Shirley Friday one.
Shirley and I had to take care of some errands.
Shirley was going that far just to be Chemish. He needed some cash for the bus. And I thought he for sure was going to have money on his debit card because he asked his father the night before to put money on the debit card. So he wakes up, we're going to the ATM. So he decides to call up, check for us if he has money and how much. And he called up and says he didn't have his dollar. He got very busy and he wasn't able to pay him. So Shirley first thinks, puts on a face, about to get mad.
Beauty.
How'd he get the
beauty?
Someone come over and like hand.
I lent him a lot of money.
He mugged somebody and took money afterwards.
Can I also say a story?
Yeah, sure.
Basically,
supper.
Last night.
Supper every night. You know, supper every single night. Someone, something comes here.
Yeah, that's me. Basically, last night I leave my room at like 11:30, I would say. There's no one in my room. Like an hour later, I come back to my room. I sit down on my bed, and I still don't know what happened. My whole, like, half my bed is like soaking wet.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. It was like soaking wet, right? And I got like the blanket soaking wet, the sheets, everything. I'm like, hey, this is weird. And I'm just like, you know what? Comes a little table.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yep.
You find out who did it?
After like, it was
happened?
Crazy. I put a towel down.
What happened?
Yep. Just that.
And also an ad on the bed. My friend Ralph Go is gonna lend me his blanket.
Very nice.
For that one.
So I'm gonna share with you two stories, which I struggled with, and I had in mind in Munavad. One of them was I had to be Menachem Avo by a family that never lost their father. He was a young man, he was in his 50s, and he passed away. And they asked me, "Do you mind coming the last day of Shiva? We're gonna daven at 6 a.m. in the morning." They asked me if I could come. I don't know if you noticed, one Sunday I wasn't here. It was probably 1 week and a half ago. I wasn't here for Shachris. Fine. Say, so, can you come at 6 a.m.? I said, yeah, okay. If I come, I brought also two people with me from Goldberg and David Cohen. Came to daven at 6 a.m. We got there at 6 a.m. and there was two people there in the tent with us. 6:30, there were still only two people there at the tent with us. It was at 7 o'clock that they first started the minyan. Now, waking up at 6 a.m. is very, very difficult. I didn't actually wake up at 6. I woke up at 5. But I didn't go to sleep much before that either. And it was very, very frustrating for me because Mela, if I, you know, if I have to, I'm happy to get up and help, but I felt like I'm doing absolutely nothing over here, right? And I really wanted to go to sleep after davening. If I daven at 6, I'll go to sleep a little bit, and then I'll be able to be by Halacha Seder, by First Seder, whatever. But there it was, slowly ebbing away, and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to... And I was fighting with the frustration of the fact that there's no one there. And that was a very, very difficult struggle for me. I can't say that I fully got on top of that one. Like, I can't say that I really, because it was really, it was a test. It was a rough one for me. But I identified the struggle that this is Gamzu L'Toyva. I identified I was dealing with that struggle. Another struggle which I'm having at this moment is, like, if you could tell, but my I have a very, very severe canker sore in the back of my tongue at the moment, which makes it very hard for me to talk. Now, most of my day, I'm talking. So it's very frustrating for me because I can't necessarily, I'm speaking much more monotonous now. I sound like I'm boring. And it's very hard for me to give shiur when I'm not, you know, screaming and yelling. I can't scream and yell right now because my tongue, I'm just in too much pain. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating because it's painful. And it's frustrating because I feel like I can't do what I want to do. But this one, when I gotten into focus, the fact that we're about to do a Munavad, so I was able to take it much more with a grain of salt, and I'm doing much better right now about that. So that's my thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing.
You know, one of the things that he's speaking about here in Living Emuna, in the Sefer, Beloved Usher put it out, is that Emuna is something that everyone can really relate to, everyone has to deal with, right? It's something that we all have to go through, you know, in our lives. And we're all going to have different struggles. Like we said, different people on different levels are going to have these types of different struggles. He brings a story here from someone named Rav Lugassi. Rav Lugassi is someone that has a very big impact on him. He writes in Akdama. He sensed he was once standing next to someone who was hammering a nail into the wall. And suddenly the man shouted some very distasteful words. You understand what that means, right? So he said to him, what's going on? He said, he accidentally banged the hammer on his finger, right? He was trying to bang it on the nail. Oh, you know what I'm saying, right? So he said, Rugasi said to him, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Zayin Amud Beis, says no person even hurts his finger in this world without it being decreed from the heavens. Right? Now, this is, to me, an easier way for us to kind of see that, because, you know, like, why did you miss the nail? It's not like the type of thing that you really can control. It's totally out of your control. You missed it. It wasn't because you weren't concentrating or something. It's just you missed it, right? And bang, you banged right on your thumb. So why did that happen? So if a person feels like these circumstances were random, so he gets frustrated, he's fighting the circumstances. But if you realize that that's, no one hurts his finger in this world unless it was decreed from Shamayim. So Rav Lugassi said to the person, he said, listen, let me tell you what happened, okay? You've done averes in your life, right? The person said, of course I've done averes in my life. He said, well, guess what? In Shamayim, there were malachim that came up and said, look, you know, he deserves some serious punishment over here. Some serious punishment. And then you've done some mitzvahs in your life. So the malachim, the white malachim, the defenders, came up and said, wait, hold on a second, but he's done some serious mitzvahs in his life. So that should protect him. There's a whole need in Shemayim. Like, what should we do to this guy? Right? Should we punish him? Should we not punish him? And Bezdin Shemayim paskind, what they paskind?
Hammer
on the finger. That was the psak. That was the psak, and you're getting frustrated. Realize that this is something that was preordained, and this is something that was given exactly what, you know, the firm measure, what had to happen to you. And therefore, a person has an easier time taking it. The way that in Eretz Yisrael, the Lashon is a very important Lashon, Rabbi Yisai. Kapara. You ever heard someone say kapara? Kapara means, let's say you're banging your nail in, you go bang on your finger, so you could say ow. Kapara. What does kapara mean? Should be an atonement. Should be a kapara. I'm right now suffering terribly on the back of my tongue. I hate when I get these ulcers. It's called an ulcer, really, on the back of my tongue. It's very painful, but you know what? Kapara. Probably said some Lashon Hara or something like that that I shouldn't have said. And this is a kapara. And Shemayim, they said, you know, center is, you know, needs to get punished. So they gave me a kapara. I'll take your kapara. If that's, you know, if this is, if I'm getting off with just an ulcer in the back of my tongue, I'll take it. It helps more because you're
there's
not.
No point of it.
You're having a muna.
No, but if I say you don't have, don't say it like have
mine. It's
kapara.
It's still the kapara. I don't think it's makiv. The kapara, but it's as far as.
Mindset, people are very into, like, you should say, no, there should be a kapara. Anytime you're having a hard time, there should be a kapara.
I don't know. I think this should be a kapara. I don't know. Can't tell.
It obviously is.
I don't know, but it's mechazik your amunah. It changes your entire life. It's really going to change your life. It's not just going
to. Also wear red strings around it.
Person that is. So we're speaking about Yosef HaTzadik. I want to speak about Yosef HaTzadik for a second. I want to tell you how on top of the situation. So I told you, you know, I was there at the Shiva house, and Baruch Hashem, I didn't get angry at the people. For a while, I was like getting frustrated at them. Like, you wake me up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I bring two of my friends, and you know, you don't have a minion? But everybody was Shiva minion. I was getting upset. Then I said, you know what? I'm not going to be upset at them. But I still was frustrated with the situation. Can't say that I got on top of it totally. Okay? I worked on it, but at least they didn't do that. Yosef HaTzadik was so on top of the situation, and it was much worse than just getting to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? His brothers basically stabbed him in the back. They sold him. They wanted to kill him. He heard this whole conversation. Let's kill him. Nah, let's throw him in a pit. He was sitting right there. You know what I mean? And he's like, listening to this.
I'm right here.
Right? But he remembered all that. Right? Now, I want to explain to you how on top of the situation Yosef was. I want to explain to you how on top of it was. He was able to do things that would appear like he's taking nekama. It would appear like that. And do it in a way that he had absolutely no hard feelings. What do I mean? He played this whole, you know, this whole charade with the brothers. And they're sweating, right? Now, if it was me, even if I would be like, you know, Big Moon, I would say, gonna happy sweating, right? Maybe I wouldn't do it to him, but imagine if it was being done, for sure, there's like a tinge of a little bit of, you know, of feeling like vindicated. Yosef didn't have even a tinge of that. And he's doing this whole thing for one purpose. Why did he do this whole charade, Yosef? Anyone know? He didn't do it to get revenge. He's trying to teach them a lesson. He was doing it for them. Right? And because that was his entire intention, right? Therefore, it's considered to be a noble act. I told you I was by Kever Rachel. I'm amazed. I don't know if this is a medrash. I seem to remember this medrash also, but I was reading the tefillahs about Rachel Imenu. I think according to one of the medrashim, Rachel was actually under the bed and said the simanim to Yaakov while Leah was now living with her husband. I think that if I understood the tefillah correctly, I can't imagine what type of like selflessness that is. To be there while someone else is right now going to bed with someone who's supposed to be your husband, and you are, you're there giving the simon over. I can't imagine that. But Rachel instilled in her son a selflessness. And he was able to do this whole thing, this whole charade, similar charade to what Rachel was doing, different but similar. She was doing a charade that Gilo, she's pretending to be, letting Leah pretend to be her, and she's orchestrating it. And Yosef is orchestrating this whole charade with the brothers, just so that my brother can, to help out my brother. That was it. Right? So now, I want to tell you a very important, what I think is a very important yesod. How does someone have so much emunah? Where does emunah come from? I think from Yosef HaTzadik we're going to get the answer. Right? There's books. There's Living Emunah. There's Garden of Emunah. There's Tiv HaEmunah. Get all these books about emunah.
You say, like, to build up?
Yeah, for sure, you got to work on it and all that stuff. But I want to tell you what is the source of our emunah. There's a book that is the source of our emunah. It's called the Bible. I'll explain to you what I mean. The source of real emunah is Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah. When Yosef tried to convince his father that he's still Yosef, through all of the challenges, through all the difficulties, through all the hardships, how did he convince Yaakov that he's still Yosef? The brothers came, and they went to tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive. Now, that can be extremely traumatic for someone. Could die from the trauma. Who died of trauma when they were told news that something that was very shocking? Sorry, Amen. So the brothers were afraid that the same way that their great-grandmother died that way, they're afraid that their father was going to die that way also. So how did they break the news? Does anyone know? What? No. But first, how did they break the news? All right. Wrong one. It's a different one. It's a different song. That's the other song. That's the other song. The other song is... Od Yosef Chai, Bu Moshe Bochol Eretz Mitzrayim. That's the other song. Ani Yosef Od Avichai.
The harp.
The harp. Is not, that song is not the harp song.
No.
Sorry.
Ani Yosef is alive. Na 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 na.
Od Avichai. That's not Od Avichai, no.
So it's not Od Avichai.
That's the other song.
I remember. This is
you got to check 613 to revenue.
I read this when I was...
Anyway, listen to me, Rabbi Yisai. That's Erech Bas Asher with her harp over there, or her violin, whatever exactly it was. And she's playing music, and they break it to him very, very slowly. Very, very gently. And the pasuk says Yaakov didn't believe them. Now, I don't think Yaakov thought that it was like April Fool's Day. Oh, we're just kidding, right? What does it mean Yaakov didn't believe them? What does that mean? Yaakov didn't believe him. So I think the pshat is, Yaakov for sure believed that Yosef was physically alive. But Yaakov was not interested in having like this, you know, secularized, totally disassociated, unaffiliated child. Why was Yaakov so distraught over losing a child? Because Yaakov wanted, was under the impression he was going to have something called mitasei shlema. What does that mean? All his kids are going to be good. Avram didn't have that. What did Avram have?
Yishmael.
Yitzchak didn't have that. Yitzchak had Esau. And Yaakov thought he was going to have mitasei shlema. But when he lost Yosef, he's like, okay, I lost it. Now they told him Yosef's still here. That's not Yosef. That's not mitasei shlema. That's not what I was davening for. That's not what I was hoping for. You're going to give me a shell of my original child who has absolutely, you know, no shaychus to Yiddishkeit? I'm not interested. Doesn't make me happy. It's not going to make him happy. So what convinced Yaakov that Yosef is still alive? The Agolos. As Avrami mentioned, the Agolos. It says, he saw Vayaris Agolos, he saw the wagons. What was it about the wagons? The last thing they learned was Egla Arufa. Which means that what Yosef was saying is, I'm still learning what I was learning the whole time. Everything I was learning, I'm still learning. In other words, how did Yosef stay strong? Through all of the darkness and all the difficulties and all the everything, it was through learning. I want to tell you something fascinating. Do you know what they learn in Or Sameach? Baba Metzia.
I just go straight through it.
Do you know what they learn in Eish HaTorah? Baba Kama. You know what they learn in Machon Shlomo? These are the three biggest Baba Basra. Why are they learning? Why are you taking this guy? He's not even from. What are you learning Baba Kama with him for? Why are you learning Baba Kama? Learn with him philosophy. Learn with him Rav Dessler. Learn with him, you know, just do Musser. The guy doesn't even know if he believes it. What are you learning Baba Kama for? Kedushin, Sanhedrin, Shabbos. They've Gemara Seder. First Seder, Second Seder, Night Seder. Why are they doing that? I'll tell you why. The foundation of our Amuna, the bedrock of our Amuna has to be Torah. Has to be Torah. And I'll explain to you perhaps why. That's what Yosef is saying. I have Amuna because I'm connected to Torah. You see, people that the less shaykhs they have to Torah, the further they drift and drift from their Amuna. I'll tell you why. In order to have Amuna in something, you have to feel like you have a relationship. You have to feel like you're having your Amuna has some sort of your Amuna in what? Faith in what? There's a lot of people that have faith. But their faith is totally abstract and empty. There's people that have faith in Buddha. There's people that have faith in Mustafa. Or Muhammad, better. Not Mustafa. Right. Mustafa. Muhammad. The people that have faith.
That's a good name, though. Yeah.
But I want to tell you something. Those faiths are faiths that don't have any foundation. How do you have faith in something that's just, that's out there that you don't feel like you have a connection with? How do you have faith in that?
You
don't. The way to build a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Torah. Yisrael, the Oiraisa, the Kutcher B'Chuchatu. Yisrael and the Torah and Hashem are one. What binds us with Hashem? What's our relationship with Hashem? The Torah. Because Baruch says, this is how I'm going to create a relationship with you. So that's what we're saying over here. A person has to learn Torah in order for Emunah. Who was the person that was the symbol of Limar HaTorah?
Jacob.
Yaakov Avinu. He was called Yoshev, Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. Who was the one that had the most nisyonis, the most difficulties, the most challenges of all the others?
Yaakov.
Yaakov Avinu. No? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he was born with nisyonis. Actually, before he was born, there was nisyonis. What happened? Even before he was born, he had Esav to deal with. He had Lavan to deal with. He had all different types of challenges. The Meshech Chochma says that Yaakov Avinu is the one who is misnaveh balayla. Why is he misnava balayla?
It's really that he didn't have the most talented because of his level of emuna. That was the same thing for Mishtav and Maito.
Because that's the challenge, though. He had such a high level of emuna
from relationship with Tyra.
Right. Yaakov Avram Avinu. It says lahagid ba'boiker chazdecha. What does that mean? The morning, your kindness. Avram Avinu is like the morning. You know the chachris is connected. Who is Masakin chachris? The morning, everything's cheery and bright and good. Everything's going well. Ve'emunascha ba'leilos. Who is Masakin Mayriv? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the one who had the strongest amuna, hardest times. How did he get his amuna, Yaakov Avinu? He was Tyra. He was Tyra. So he was the one who was able to build that amuna.
What does that mean, Tyra? What Tyra did he have? I mean, that different than Avraham Yitzchak. So
apparently, 14 years. He learned Tyra on that. What does that mean exactly?
He pounded,
right?
What about Avraham Yitzchak?
They were more. They personified more different mida, Chesed and Avodah.
And who? Sheva Iver. Who was Sheva Iver?
Hold on a second.
Who was Sheva Iver?
Who was there? Yeah. There was a base medrash. There was people there. Very holy people. That's how I learned.
He did 12 plus.
He was pounding.
He did 14.
What'd you say, Yitzi? He did Shaka Vataria. He did 12 plus and Shaka Vataria.
7.5 years later, it was Daf Yom.
You're still doing his Harufa.
He's still in the Europe trip.
He was chazering. I think he was chazering. He says he learned the same thing, Egel Harufa. He didn't learn anything new. He was chazering. That's what he did.
Yeah.
So Rabbi said, this is, a very important nakuda that we have to realize. A person can try to have amuna in a vacuum, just try to like create amuna just with like learning books about amuna. But a person wants to have rock solid amuna, really you have to have a connection to Torah. What? Yeah, the amuna for half an hour and the foundation.
Doesn't say that.
But how? Like, why? Learning Torah automatically connects it. What's the component?
So I'm explaining to you that because Torah is what connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a moon in something abstract, in something like kibi-jibi, like in the Force. You know, I have a moon in the Force, right? So then it's something that's not real, right? It's your emunah has, there's nothing there. It's just empty. If a person has a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, you want to connect to me? I'm telling you how to connect to me through my Torah.
Like, I was like learning Gerakot and have to do anything with
Gerakot. It doesn't, but it creates a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that now you can have emunah in Him. The more I know someone, the more I connect with someone, the easier it is for me to have emunah in Him. Yeah, right? Yeah. I'll give you an example.
Do you trust me tonight?
Yeah.
The closer, the better you know someone, the more that you feel connected with someone, the more a person can have emunah in that person.
It's not
trust
about him, it's laws that...
Yeah, that is the way. So you have to figure out, how is it that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah? Okay, that's a very good question. We have to work on that. It's really work on that. So he's saying, look, we're learning about Gir Katan. What does that do with Hashem? It's like very dry, abstract laws. But how does that?
It's the fact. I mean, when we learn about an ox, you know, goring somebody, how is that? Because the fact that it doesn't necessarily put the selflessness of doing it for Hashem builds our relationship with Him. That means it's not necessarily something that applies to me, but the fact that I'm doing it for Hashem.
So he's saying just the fact that when I'm spending the time learning builds the relationship, but it could be that it's more than that. Somehow, even the laws themselves, just knowing the laws builds a relationship with Hashem. We'll have to work on that. Okay? It's something to work on. Respect that. But this seems to be the formula. Yaakov Avinu, Torah, connection to Hashem. And then you could... I want to tell you something amazing. A study that they just revealed. Okay? They've been doing this study for 75 years.
Still in progress.
75-year study. The study consists of 750 people. The study is done in Baltimore, in Boston. Boston. Yeah, someone's from Boston over there, right? Study's done in Boston. Now, Boston has... There's lots of different types of people in Boston. First of all, there's very successful, very brilliant, and very wealthy people. A lot of those people went to Harvard University. there's members of Harvard University that were in this study, and then there's the projects over there in Boston. There's a lot of very poor people
from the slums.
The slums of Boston.
Irish.
A lot of Irish, right? A lot of Celtics over there, and very not successful people. So listen to the study. This is what they did. 75 years ago, they started following these people's lives. And they wanted to see who is going to be happy. 75 years ago, started this. You got wealthy people, brilliant people, successful people, famous people. Amongst them, President of the United States. Amongst them, you know, many CEOs. Amongst them, people that are, you know, struggling. Some of them have addictions. Some of them are, you know, have different type of mental disorders. 750 people. So that's a very good question. They followed 750 people every year. They would sit with them, ask them questions about their marriage, about their life, about their, and they would, and they were what?
How many 750 people are still alive?
Some of them are still alive, some of them are not. No, 750 people. They might be adding more people to the study. I don't know. They have amassed a tremendous amount of data about these people. How many children they have, type of cars they drive, type of houses they live in. So, the person who's presently chairing the study, and I believe he's a professor in Harvard, said they have amassed the data and they're trying to figure out what makes people happy. So, we are conditioned to believe, even though we don't think this consciously, believe that what makes people happy? Money, success, fame. Those are all things that make people happy. Now, we don't think that, but we believe that. Someone says, I'd like to give you $30 million. You get very excited. Why are you getting very excited? Because this is going to make me happy. Right? Or some guy is like, you know, this famous actor or something. We all like worship the guy. Why? Because this is like, he's got the life. This guy's got it made. He's good looking. He's rich. He's famous. He's funny. All those things make a person happy. So listen to the study. This is not a Jewish study, by the way. It's totally Goyish study. There's probably very few Jews in the study at all. Because there aren't that many Jews that live in Boston. What?
A lot of Catholics.
A lot of Catholics. What makes people happy is strong relationships. It's Goyish people. Strong relationships is what makes people happy. The stronger their relationships are, the happier they are. You could be rich beyond, if you don't have a good relationship with your spouse, with your kids, if you don't have good friends, not happy. Person's poor, irregardless of his social status, of his fame, of his wealth, of everything. What makes a person happy is good relationships. Now, the most important relationship we could possibly have is a relationship with Hashem. Because if I was Yosef HaTzadik, I would be very unhappy. You know why? I have a relationship with nobody. I'm here, vulgaring around in Mitzrayim, in a pit. No one cares about me. No one's looking at me. I have nothing. How is Yosef happy? Because he had a relationship. That's what Amunah is. It's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Amunah does. Amunah makes a person happy under every circumstance. Because happiness is relationships. And the most important relationship is with Hashem. Okay, we're going to continue with Hashem hopefully next time. Oh, yeah, now I'm having a migraine. It's a bad day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys are helping. Migraines. I hate migraines. It's all good. Yeah.
Hashem should return you. Then it says, "Malkinah, Sacha." Right. The Torah says, "Your father." Written by Olaf Vida, it says.
So I think he wrote it.
Now that Rabbi said that, I get ruined.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Excellent.
The Torah makes a Muna, and someone who you trust, someone that you know better, your father.
Excellent.
And also, Rabbi just said that Hashem is a most poor relationship.
He wants to.
I don't do this, but. Stop.